Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are, right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There you go. Keep them separated, just like your sides on your plate of Thanksgiving. I don't care, man. Let it all mesh.
Oh God, yes. Yeah. Stack it all. Like this is a good mixing holiday as well.
You see,
like,
they have those Thanksgiving plates that have dividers all the way around, so yeah. You can put like everything if you're a sides freak.
Mm-hmm.
I just let it just become like a suicide of like the drink. You remember when you go through the soda machine?
Yeah, right.
A little bit of gravy on everything on the plate.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I do put like the meat right in the middle. Like, that's how I build it. So it's like scoop all the way around, mm-hmm. and then meat roll in the middle.
See, I just start putting. I'm not Dane in here. I don't have a system of.
You just you see all the food, and you just black out.
Yeah. Done.
You gotta get overstimulated.
That's right. You do on Thanksgiving.
You do definitely. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Mitch Holthus will join us here in about 25 minutes on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. A little pre-Thanksgiving, Mitch,
yep.
As we get to talk about what is on slate for the Raiders game. It's always different for him, man. Like, the Raiders still do it for Mitch, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, when he started, it was the Lamar mm-hmm. and Marty era where the Raiders were the big-time enemy, and they're not anymore. My friend Paul sent me this morning about things that were not around the last time the Raiders made it into the playoffs and won a playoff game, I should say. The last time the Raiders won a playoff game was, what, 02? Is that kind of what it was? Like, right back in that wheelhouse days? And, like, things like the iPhone didn't exist the last time the Raiders won a playoff game, or Hulu, or Peacock, or Facebook, or Gmail, or Uber.
That didn't exist last time the Broncos won a playoff game.
Yeah, or the Vegas Golden Knights did not exist. ESPNU was not a thing back then when the Raiders last won a playoff game.
Did
Bleacher
the AFC
Report.
West, as currently constructed, exist the last time the Raiders won a playoff?
I think that was the first year that the division realignment happened. I think that was the first year, Nathan, or the last year of the we had Seattle and whatnot. I think that was right on the fringe of when that was happening. But things like The Walking Dead did not exist. Breaking Bad wasn't a thing. Borat wasn't around back then, the last time the Raiders won a playoff
game.
Here's
one for you. Caitlin Clark was just born.
Was just born the last time the Raiders won a playoff game.
January of 2002.
Unbelievable. Wow, that's crazy. And she's one of the greatest celebrities in sports right now, coming to speak for the
Mac was 2 years old.
Amazon Prime did not exist.
Yeah.
Tesla did not exist. TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, all good things that didn't exist game back then. But it just goes to show you like how long it's been since the Raiders were a relevant team. And I know it's always going to be a historic rivalry, but as we continue to move forward and the Raiders continue to no-show every single year, they're not really a rivalry per se anymore for us because we don't need to beat them. They don't really play well. You know, I know they beat us on Christmas Day and whatnot, but I mean, that doesn't make it a rivalry. You have to have some success. And for the last 22 years, the Raiders have been anything but a successful team in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, it just, well, starts with,
and it starts with ownership.
Somebody says LeBron wasn't even in the league yet.
In 2002?
Mm-hmm.
What year did he get into the league? 2004 or 5?
I think it was either 5 or 4.
Because what, he in year 20 right now? Yeah.
I think he's 2 years older than I am.
Wow, that's crazy. Like, LeBron wasn't a thing, right? I don't think Jordan was playing back then either.
All right. Well, I hate to do this, C-Bob, but you got to listen to him.
As far as my future goes, I haven't told anybody in my life that I want to play in 2025 and not in the Jets. So that's 100% false. I actually said the opposite. You know, I said that I'm going to wait and see what happens with at the end of the season and if they want me back and what happens with Brick and what happens with the offensive staff and obviously the GM at the time. And
Brick.
You know, then they just fired Joe.
He likes Lamb.
There's a lot of things out of my control when it comes to that. But I've really enjoyed my time in New York. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously we haven't had success that we've all wanted to have. But, you know, I've made some great friendships on the team. I've enjoyed living in Jersey. I've enjoyed time in the city. I've enjoyed getting to know the fans. And I came here to win here. So I'm not jumping off ship, you know, like,
they may push you.
I definitely want to play and not in New York.
Ugh. Oh, God. So here's how I take this.
I don't know why everybody's saying this.
Because you're doing it. Peter Baelish strikes again. Now, narcissistic Game of Thrones champion, Peter Baelish, or Littlefinger is what his name is in the books and in the show, is basically trying to throw Diana Rossini under the bus.
That's exactly what he's doing.
And that is a pure form of narcissism. I've never talked to that person in my life. So
I don't even know who that person is. Remember when he said that about Schefter or whatever it was?
And it's like, dude, like, I trust Diana Rossini. I've been around Diana Rossini. I don't know her personally, but I've seen how she works. She was at the red carpet event for the Chiefs. We were literally right next to each other. Super professional. Everybody came up to her in a great manner. They respected her. So this sort of thing doesn't add up. And dude, you're the one who runs everything in the house of the Jets, Lord Littlefinger. This is just that thing, and it's just like his demeanor and his delivery of like, oh, you know, I still want to play here. I like living in Jersey. No, you don't.
No.
You lived in a black hole for like a month.
You know,
like just go. I mean, I get it. He's the villain. He's the guy that we all can just love to hate. But man, he just always finds a way.
He sits there and says, I've really liked my time here. You didn't play 1 year because you blew your Achilles, and now you're like 3-7. Nobody could enjoy that time. And you, because of your narcissism, cost people their livelihoods. Coaches, executives, players, you know, you forced a trade for Mike Williams to go to Pittsburgh. You got your head coach fired. You got your general manager fired. You're going to get the entire coaching staff fired. They built this entire program, which is a stupid thing to do, but it's the Jets. What do you expect? They built this entire program around him, and it didn't work. And because of the moves that he wanted to make and the players that he wanted to bring in and the things that he wanted to do, they all, you know, kowtowed to him. And it ended up costing them their jobs. They should have never have done that. And I said it from the beginning. I said, I don't know that this thing is going to work in New York. And then 4 plays in, he blows his Achilles, misses the entire year. And this is where we sit right now. Aaron Rodgers is not.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, $20. He's not one of those guys that brings energy to the conversation, that brings fun to the party. He is an energy sucker. He enters the room. We all know that guy. When that guy enters the room, everybody goes, oh, that guy's here? God.
It's like Littlefinger. Anytime there was a Littlefinger scene in Game of Thrones, you're like, oh, God, here we go again.
I really do resent when these athletes and coaches try to take pot shots at the media who are doing their job.
Diana's a good one.
She's really good. And 99% of the people that cover professional sports are there, and they're reporting information that they are getting from what they deem a trusted source. If somebody in the Jets organization calls you, or what really is happening, you got a GM and a head coach that have been fired. They're willing to have conversations with people. What do they care anymore? And other than that jackass Ken Whisenhunt who lied to Ian Rappaport about, do you see that story last week? Ken Whisenhunt, that guy can go kick rocks. I hope he never works again.
Sports turkey.
In the NFL. That guy's a loser. He called Ian Rappaport the day before he got fired and said he was signing an extension. Ian Rappaport reported that. And then Ken Whisenhunt goes on a podcast last week and goes, yeah, I totally screwed over Ian Rappaport. I made that up. I knew I was getting fired, but I called Ian and I knew. Yeah, you're a coach in the NFL. If a coach in the NFL calls you and says, hey, I'm getting an extension, well, you're going to go with that. It's just the way it is, right? And so people are giving Diana Russini this information. It may not be somebody, you know, that you authorized to give that information to, but you know what? You authorized a lot of people to get fired and ruined a lot of lives in that Jets organization, and people are going to talk, and good reporters have sources all over the place.
Well, and something I don't think Aaron can understand based on ego is someone like Diana, who's at the top of their field, doesn't need to make stuff up.
No.
She's not some shock jock that's looking for attention.
Right.
You are at the top of your field. You're one of the greatest talents
Thank
the quarterback
you.
Position has ever seen. Oh. You're welcome, Bob. You're one of the greatest talents.
Thank you.
One of the greatest duos. But why do you still need that attention?
Right.
Diana Russini is not operating that way, but you can't understand that.
So I'll wrap this conversation up with why I know it's number one, Peter Baelish's fault. It's worked for others that are considered greats. There's no doubt in my mind that he will be considered one of the better quarterbacks we've ever seen. I give him that respect. It worked for Peyton. It worked for Brady. Hell, it worked for Flacco. He went to Cleveland, turned that around last year. It worked for those guys. The other thing I will say about it is that the team around him is better than people give it credit for. He has two wide receiver ones. Garrett Wilson's a wide receiver one. Devontae Adams is a wide receiver one. Breece Hall is a running back one. That defense has not been the same since they fired the captain that ran the ship of that defense, Robert Saleh. That's why that defense was built. And everything has gone around that bad. Why? Because somebody ain't able to run the ship that thinks he can because it's sinking, and Peter Baelish, a.k.a. Littlefinger, has ruined that franchise. It's plain and simple.
He really has. He goes, I'm not ready to jump off the ship. No, they're going to push you off it, man. Like, they don't want you there anymore. You're dead weight.
Another Thanksgiving rule. You can't bring up Peter Baelish or Littlefinger. You just, when they start talking about him, you just...
I got beans, creams, potatoes.
That's right.
Lamb,
ranch, this will always get you out of that mood. Beans, coming up on the other side, Mitch Holtis in 20 minutes. No, check that. 15 minutes. You listen to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports. Back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, calling this segment Happy Hour. Because you get Bob's Bottoms Feeders, and since there's no Mac, he will be with Drew Nixon from 10 to 2. So Mac and Drew from 10 to 2.
I like the way that sounds.
I like the way that sounds. I'll listen to those guys in the car, see how the Young Bucks are doing.
That's not right.
An AEW reference, but we'll do Bob's Bottom Feeders and Lycan's Licks. I don't know.
And then we'll talk to Mitch.
Yeah.
Then you'll talk to Mitch. You get to follow Lycan's Licks.
That's right. And then we'll talk about.
I like Mac and Drew from 10 to 2 way more than Lycan's Licks.
Yeah.
Way more.
We're gonna get the licks in here today, boys. That's for sure. And then next time we do this, it'll be back to Max Pack.
Thank goodness.
But let's get into Bob's Bottom Feeders.
Oh, you want me to go first?
Yeah,
all right.
Why not?
All right. So every week I take a look at who I think are the five worst teams in the NFL. There's no rhyme or reason to it at all. I just think about the five worst teams that I've seen recently.
Mm-hmm.
And we throw it on the list. Coming in at number five are the aforementioned New York Football Jets, 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 Jets. I know they're not a local team, but are they not the most compelling story in the NFL this year? Because every day there is something else that adds to the soap opera of this league, right? And the Jets are front and center of this sucker every day. So the Jets come in. New England coming in at number four. Have you paid any attention to New England this year?
Just Drake May.
Have you paid any attention to New England this year, Nathan?
Well, I saw something about Gerard Mayo saying, like, he can't play. All he can do is call the plays, and he can't execute.
Oh,
or something.
Did he say that?
Woo.
Oh boy, that's you're running out of gas when you're doing that as a head coach. I don't think I've seen 1 minute of New England unless the red zone mistakenly went to one of their games this year. They are as nondescript a team as they can get. The other thing about New England that's kind of ticking me off
when you watched was that great play by Drake May that sent it to overtime.
That's exactly right. No, 100%.
Tennessee though.
Yeah, but 100%. That's
still
it.
Lost.
And they still lost the game.
But that's it.
That's it. Yeah. That's all you've seen of New England this year. And the overlying storyline with New England that has them on the list for me is like, Bob Kraft doesn't get it. Just because you're old and an owner of an NFL team does not qualify you to be in the Hall of Fame. Mm. And apparently he's sending letters to people to vote him in for the Hall of Fame. You are the steward of a franchise that cheated on multiple occasions. Mm. I don't care that you won the Super Bowls. You cheated. You don't belong in the Hall of Fame,
and
Rob.
You cheated on your wife.
And we'll go with number three, the Raiders on the list this week. They're coming in at number three. They stink. They're very bad. The Chiefs should go out there and mollywop them this weekend on Friday, because if you're the Raiders, you're really flying on Thanksgiving and all this other nonsense. Like, no, you got to beat the Raiders. You got to beat them big this week. Mm-hmm. The Giants come in at number two. They don't even know who their quarterback's going to be this weekend. You know, Tommy Cutlets is
weekend. They play tomorrow.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Tommy Cutlets is complaining he's injured, he's hurt, he's sore. It's the NFL,
that lasted
bro.
5 minutes for
get
the
out
Giants
there and
fans.
Play. And then finally, Jacksonville coming in at number one. They are the worst team in the NFL. And they're the worst team in the NFL because they, I think, have a decent enough quarterback. But they, I mean, that fumble on the first play of the season this year told the entire story for Jacksonville.
So we got Jets, Pats, Vegas, Giants, Jacksonville.
That's right.
Let's see here. There's one. Two, three, four, all five teams going to lose their coach. One's already lost their coach.
Jacksonville's going to get rid of their coach. The Giants are teetering. The Raiders have to move on. The New
After
England Patriots.
One year?
I don't know, man. Like,
yeah, it's tough.
How do I mean,
Jacksonville's just going to make that man suffer.
Yeah, they are. New England, I don't think Mayo's gone in New England. He was the handpicked successor 5 years ago, Kraft said.
So those are the bottom feeders. These are my Likens licks for you this week. Coming at number five, the Vikings. Young coach, Sam Darnold. A fresh new fixed that's licking the competition. Minnesota is number five. Kind of in the same realm as Max Pack, your top five teams that can win a Super Bowl. He thinks these are my top five teams that'll lick you. Number four, Philadelphia. They got a good lick right now. And that lick is in the form of Saquon Barkley. Yep. Man, that guy had 300 all-purpose yards. This trade from Saquon to Philly from the Giants seems like the reverse Herschel Walker trade.
Herschel was Walker, a free agent signing.
Herschel Walker, well, yeah, not a trade, but like a new team, new place. Herschel Walker gets traded to the Minnesota Vikings. You never see him again. Never hear
and
about
Dallas
him again.
Dallas built a Super Bowl and champion Dallas with all their picks.
Saquon goes to Philly. Hello. He'll lick you any time of the game. Bills coming at number three. They licked the Chiefs, so I got to give them their respect. Good for them. They won their big regular season game. Cool. It's a minor lick, but they still get it. Mm-hmm. Number two, the Detroit Lions. They just keep licking those kneecaps, man. They win. They win by a big margin, but it's not been done enough yet. They could use a little more licks to prove it to me, but right now they're number two. And my number
they
one.
They got to get it done in the playoffs.
My number one lick. The Kansas City Chiefs, they give you that late surprise lick at the end when you didn't see it coming. There's that late Likens lick from the Kansas City Chiefs, who sit number one on the list of things to be licked for Likens licks there. And now we get to our main lick of the day.
Stay focused, Dusty.
Mitch Holtis.
He's been the voice of Chiefs Kingdom since 1994.
Damian Williams, 20, stays in bounds, 15.
Here's Mitch Holtis on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Stay focused, Dusty.
That's right. That's Mitch Holtis, which is brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Centers, and also brought to you by GEHA. GEHA is the proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch, welcome to the show, sir.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, the mule, and the artist formerly known as Bulldog.
That's right, exactly.
Stay focused, Dusty. A tryptophan-induced focus drift I could see by Thursday night, and you got to get ready for a Friday 2 o'clock game. Bulldog, yeah. Bob, do we like Likens Lick?
I don't know. What do you think? I'm gonna respect your decision on this one.
The jury's out.
Yeah.
I love it though. I love it.
All right.
Likens licking. Just from the standpoint of it's old school. You know, hey, we licked him. We licked 10 out of 11 teams already this year.
That's right. So. You know, Mitch, it brings me to a question that I had for you last week. It didn't really fit last week. It should have, but I need to bring it up this week, and I'm apologizing to Dusty ahead of time because I know where this is going to go, Mitch. Okay, it's you and I. We're talking about nonsense here for a second. Was Carolina the team we started the coach in the bar with?
Oh, yeah.
Who was the coach?
Yep. Dave Canales.
It was no. Canales wasn't the first original Pooches member.
Oh, it was Dom Capers.
Was it Dom Capers?
I think it was Dom Capers. Dusty can look it up.
There was
the
somebody
first
else.
Carolina Panthers coach?
No. The first one who went to Pooches with us. Remember, we did the old coach in the bar.
Whoa! I'm blanking out now.
I am too.
Yeah.
And I spent way too much time.
There's been so dang many coaches and Pooches, I just lose track.
Right.
So
I want to say we started that with Carolina, and there was some, like, 80-year-old coach that was, like, an offensive line coach or something. Like, oh, my God, this guy.
I'll think of it probably.
Well, there's Capers. There's John Fox. There's Perry.
It wasn't a head coach. It was an offensive line guy that were defensive. Guy. I don't remember who it was, but like, God,
been 42 places.
Yes.
Yeah.
And probably his third
Joe
trip.
Cullen type.
Yeah, right. Probably his third trip through Carolina at that point of his career, you know? So, speaking of, changing and moving, we got a new kicker this week again because our backup kicker gets hurt lifting weights or whatever it was. And now we got Matthew Wright, who's been here three other times. So, like, how concerned are you?
Well, kind of trying to figure it out. Is Coach speaking to the media today?
I think 1 o'clock, yeah.
Okay. Well, he'll probably clear some of this up and clean it up. But, for sure. Now, you talk about there's some guys whose LinkedIn page, like, eats up all of the storage in your phone. And love Spags and Maria. Love them. Happy Thanksgiving to those two. But look at Spags' resume or Joe Cullen's, and that's kind of what we're talking about. But this is Matthew Wright. Matthew Wright has been with 8 different teams. He's been with the Steelers 4 different times. This is his third different stint with us. Now, he's 43 out of 50 on field goals. Mm-hmm. Remember, he kicked a 59-yarder when he was here in 2022 and Butker had the injury that he suffered in Arizona in week 1. And Matthew Wright kicked a 59-yard field goal, ironically, against the Raiders. And it was just weird. We were leaving the stadium going, is that guy going to have our team record? It's not going to be Stenerud or Lowry or Stoyanovich or Butker. It's going to be – well, Buck took care of that like 3 weeks later when he did come
back.
That's
right.
Kicked the 62 – remember?
Yes.
62-yarder against Buffalo. I was like, okay, we can rest about that one. But now he's back. Matthew Wright is back. I've not figured out – why he hasn't stuck anywhere, because he just keeps, it's the old WKRP, old show, moving up and down the dial, like town to town, up and down the dial. So that's what we got. Am I concerned? Well, he's kicked a lot of games, but man, he's an aerospace engineer. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
So,
but that's what we got. Third kicker.
If we need another
tight ends and the 15 wide receivers.
If we need another kicker, can we get Hunter Dickinson? Do you think he would be available?
Okay.
Oh, well, he might. Is he a straight-on kicker?
Yeah, he kind of got a little angle on the thing there, but he gave him a good contact to the head, so I don't know if he's available. So.
Well, I can see him being old-school Lou Groza, left-footed, you know, like no helmet, just that Dickinson head. And then, but Ariza would be screwed up because he'd have to go to the other side.
Yes.
Now you got to snap or hold for a left-footed kicker. I don't know. We'll see. We'll leave that open.
The good news is, though, we're supposed to get back our guy Harrison Butker after the Charger game.
That's what it looks like. Because I was just reaffirming with everybody thinking, is that so? That's what it looks like. Now, you can't put that down and print it or put it where it's not erasable, because you just don't know with the rehab and how Butt's doing. And that's where we get on Rick Burkholder and his staff. Man, have they been taxed this year. But I think all good intentions, it would be the week after the Chargers, which would be Cleveland, going to Cleveland. But you got to get ready for this game, and you got to get ready for the Charger game with Matthew Wright.
Mitch, to add to the the Harrison Butker talk, I do believe it was Mooney that set the all-time record in the Super Bowl for longest field goal ever kicked, and then hold my beer, Harrison Butker came in right after that and then set the record for longest field goal kicked in a Super Bowl. I believe. I think that is a true stat.
It is true, and it's kind of funny because it's like Jake Mooney just set the all-time Super Bowl record.
Yeah.
3-2-1 Yeah. Harrison Butker has the all-time Super Bowl record.
Yeah.
This is in the 58th Super Bowl. So, yeah, that was a funny moment. But that was very similar. Remember, Matthew Wright kicks a 59-yarder against the Raiders.
Oh, yeah.
And we're like, wow, this is weird. The fill-in guy's going to have the all-time record. And then Butt said, nah, I'll take care of it.
Yeah, because didn't he do it in an arrow? It was like the longest field goal kicked at Arrowhead. And then Butker came in and said, actually, we're going to change that. But something that could change, Mitch, and could keep this team really rolling is Pop joining this team if he plays on Sunday. Or, I guess, Friday. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and again, that's trying to be determined as we speak. He practiced yesterday, and so, but we'll see. Is he up to run and up to speed? And you got to protect Pop against himself. You know, the dude only goes 2,000 miles an hour. And so you've got to figure out pitch count. And Kareem Hunt has done such a good job, and so has Samaje Perine, that, Dusty, that could be a really good three-headed monster.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're telling Pop you don't have to tote the mail here 45 times, that this is all going to work, and everybody's got their own skill set. What Pacheco does bring to the table is the ability to get, no pun intended, a pop play. Go back to his Jets game when he had the 48-yard run. And the other thing that's encouraging to me is the way the running backs are now being used as weapons in the passing game. That's what Perine and Kareem, to some extent, have brought to help Patrick Mahomes. Whether it's a check down throw or a design throw, these running backs are getting 15-plus, 20-plus passing plays. And honestly, that's the next step for Pacheco, is to be in that realm. But if you got three fresh running backs, all that can do the work and make 20-plus plays potentially or 15-plus plays, that'll be a real weapon going forward.
Mitch Holt is with us here on 96.5 The Fan, and we came across a list yesterday of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Looking.
Well, again, this week's list.
This week's list of nonsense, and they had Patrick Mahomes like 11th on the list behind Jaden Daniels, who just lost his third in a row. Mahomes has never lost three in a row as a starting quarterback in this league. What's the deal with the haters of Mahomes this year, man? It feels like people are just tired of it, and they continue to try to tell you somebody else is better or somebody else is going to take the mantle from Patrick Mahomes, and people are ignoring some stuff that they should probably be paying attention to with this guy.
It honestly feels like Tiger Woods in his heyday, like the late 90s, early 2000s, where there's no middle ground. People couldn't wait for him to play on Sunday and wear the red shirt, and everybody would watch golf, and people that didn't watch golf, watch golf. But then there was the other side that just couldn't stand him, couldn't wait for him to lose, couldn't wait for him. And one little sliver of a hiccup became, oh, my God, look at, he's terrible. Muhammad Ali, I think, the same way. So when you get a great single player like Patrick and what he has done, there's just this – there's no middle ground. And Pat has as many admirers, way more than haters, but the haters come out. But one thing you don't hear, Bob and Dusty, so Mahomes in the first quarter has not been Mahomesian, but in the fourth quarter – he has been. His quarterback rating in the fourth quarter is 108.4 with five touchdowns and one pick. And the one pick was the desperation throw against Buffalo. So that almost doesn't count. I mean, you're talking he's still top five or top six quarterback in the league in the fourth quarter when it counts the most. And you were talking about him never losing three in a row. You know, and I popped the stat out, I believe, at the end of the game against Carolina on Sunday. Patrick Mahomes is 84-23 as a starting quarterback, regular season, 15-3 playoffs. But let's just, this stat is regular season, 84-23. That means Pat has lost 23 times. Patrick Mahomes' record after a loss is 19-4. It is the best record of any quarterback in National Football League history after a loss.
It's not Tom Brady. It's not Troy Aikman. It's not Sid Luckman. It's not, I don't know, Bobby Lane. It's Patrick Mahomes. He's 19-4 after a loss. Not only, Bob, does he hasn't lost three in a row, he's rarely lost two in a row, four times.
That's unbelievable.
In a career that has spanned seven-plus years. So you don't hear this stuff. But he's when it matters the most, Patrick makes those plays like he made on Sunday on his 33-yard run.
Mm-hmm.
But those discussions seem to kind of drift away because, oh, he's not throwing for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns.
Why does it feel at times we're talking about a 6-5 team instead of a 10-1 football team? You're like in the NFL anymore, Mitch, like, and I know you and I are a lot older school, you know, than you know, most people anymore, but I remember when, like, a win in the NFL was good, and now we're breaking down wins and saying, well, it's not good enough.
I think it's the influence of fantasy football and gambling. More people gamble on the National Football League, and most listening to us are in some sort of fantasy league, which is fine. That's cool, but you've got to keep it in the realm of fantasy, and I'm mad that the Chiefs didn't cover and win my bet, or they didn't. So they're not winning by enough. I think that has led to the angst of people of looking at this team, and instead of admiring them for figuring out ways to win. Here's another stat for you. This is another eye popper. The Chiefs have won 13 straight. Their 13 straight one possession games. If they've been involved in a one possession game, they've won 13 straight. If they win, their next one possession margin, the 14th straight, will be an all-time National Football League record. All-time. We're going back, way back to the Decatur Staleys again. So, is that a weakness? Is that lucky? Or is that an amazing strength, and they've done it three different phases?
That's incredible,
so,
man.
Again, it's the realm of perception. But to me, it's incredible that they could have that. And then, 8 of their 10 wins, here's another one for you. 8 of their 10 wins, of course, have been by one possession. They're 10-1. 80% of the wins by one possession. Now, follow me here. By a defending Super Bowl champion, the 80% of wins by one possession by a defending Super Bowl champion is the best in National Football League history. Right behind them, the 1991 Giants, who had 75% of their wins as one-possession wins, and the 2013 Ravens, 75%, same deal. Did we look at the Ravens in 2013 and go, oh, I think they're so much weaker? I know they won the Super Bowl last year, but look, they're not very good. I mean, it's just the perception battle is real.
Mitch, I'll get you out of here. This one, which is something I think that the Chiefs fans and you and I and Bob and Nathan can all be thankful for, which is Mahomes and Kelce, and I want to ask you this question. Next touchdown throw Mahomes throws, he will pass Lynn Dawson all time. Next touchdown Travis Kelce catches, he'll pass Tony Gonzalez all time. Who gets that football if they throw the first touchdown of the play to Travis Kelce?
I don't want to be myopic here, Mule, but I'm also trying to figure out what that call is going to sound like.
Okay.
See, if that's a Mahomes to Kelce touchdown, you've got two major team records going down in the same play.
Yeah.
With two iconic people holding that mantle right now in Lynn Dawson and Tony Gonzalez.
Well,
it will be the most monumental deciding the game, then it'll be the most monumental, like regular kind of touchdown in franchise history. But who gets the game ball? Let's Solomon split it in half.
There you go.
Saw that baby in half. Have Tom Brady come because he can maybe deflate it before putting and have him come out at the 50-yard line. It's Tom Brady with a saber saw. We'll bring a saber saw out and he can just cut that baby and give one to Kelce and one to Pat, and Gronk can come out and they can walk up the tunnel winking at everybody like they did in 2018 in the AFC Championship game.
I said yesterday somebody better have a hacksaw on the sideline and cut that thing right in half.
See, Bob, Dusty, stay around these us old dudes.
Yeah.
It's like, we'll give you some wisdom, man.
Hey, Mitch, we appreciate it, and I will not be mad if that call happens and you black out and you just say right there is one of the best Likens licks you'll ever see in Chiefs history. I'm biased, and you know me.
Stay focused, Dusty.
I'm gonna stay focused and watch this game on Black Friday and have a great call, Mitch. And we will listen.
Happy
to it,
Thanksgiving
and happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, and stay safe out there, Mitch.
Do it in moderation, Dusty. Do it in moderation. Tryptophan in moderation.
Yes, sir.
Got to have you Friday.
Okay.
Stay focused.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Mitch Holtis there, brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Centers. Brought to you also by GEHA. GEHA is the proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
How do you not get fired up listening to all these things that this football team does so well? And then you have people go, man, I don't know if they just have it this year. They're winning every freaking game.
You hear it a lot on the radio these days, but coming up on the other side, it is a Thanksgiving food version of Smash or Pass here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Do it in moderation, Dusty.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. You can call me Al if you want. Not mad about it. Spinning an infinity says, hey, hallelujah. It is Thanksgiving week. Welcome to the last 10 minutes of what we called happy hour. If you miss Mitch Holtis, it'll be on the podcast later. Stay focused, Dusty. Stay focused. But it is that time of the show, and it is that time of the year where we can do a smash or pass when it comes to Thanksgiving food items. And I don't know if there's a whole lot of passes for me on this list.
I know. I was trying to think of some that I knew I would pass on, but I'm like, the more I went down the list of stuff, Dusty, the more I'm like, I think I'm going to eat all of this.
I am a gluttonous goblin on Thanksgiving, and I am okay to admit that.
Yeah.
And we start the list off with probably the easiest one of them all. Green bean casserole, smash or pass?
I think you're smashing green bean casserole, yeah. Right? Like, I think everybody's going to smash the green bean casserole. There's, like, maybe 2 days a year where you eat this, Thanksgiving and Easter, maybe. Mm. Maybe you slide Christmas. Into Christmas a little bit, he says, with a question mark, right? Like, it's not something that you have. Like, most of the Thanksgiving food you're not having as your everyday foods, right? So, you know, I'm going to smash the green bean casserole.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where, you know, you have it at, like, a Friendsgiving. But like when you have it with your family, there's always like that certain someone that makes it and they don't try to overdo it. They just make the classic like cut green beans out of the can, cream of mushroom soup. I did see somebody introduce a recipe to me. They do the green bean casserole, but they do like the jalapeno fried onion straws.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. All right. I don't hate that.
But again,
I didn't know those existed.
I didn't either. But somebody had mentioned that to me, and I was like, I'm not mad about it. But again, it goes against my theory of just less is more. Just stick with the original recipe. Number two, smash or pass stuffing.
Yeah, if I could just eat stuffing for Thanksgiving, my grandma, my mom, and now I make, it's just the best. And the kids love it, and it's just so good. And so I would eat an entire plate of stuffing if I could.
I only like it if it's the stovetop version.
Okay.
I don't know if that's nostalgia. I don't know if that's whatever, but I love stovetop stuffing. Like, if you were to make that and bring it to Thanksgiving, and be like, sorry, I didn't have a whole lot of time. I've got three kids. I made that. I'd be like, look, dude,
fine.
Like, totally fine with that. Yeah. I like it more than like the homemade stuffing. Now I know I'm going to get crap on the text line. Dusty, if you had my mom, well, I haven't had your mom's stuffing. That's not what I should have said. Number three on smash or pass Thanksgiving food, yams, sweet potatoes with the little marshmallows on top. 100% smash.
You gotta smash it, right? You're not, again, that's
that little corner piece where it's like caramelized kind of against burnt the pan.
Yeah. You're not getting that any other time of year. Uh-huh. You're just not. So you're gonna smash that.
You smashing, Nathan? On the sweet potatoes?
I'm smashing every time, Dusty. These are all foods that if I had them more, I wouldn't be smashing.
But right.
Green bean casserole. That one day a year, Bob, like you, oh man.
But there's a good chance you'd be dead if you ate these foods every day. You know?
That's fair.
It gets a little questionable on these next two. Smash or pass vegetables?
You know.
What do you mean by that?
Just any, like, they somebody always has vegetables on the table.
Like a veggie tray as an appetizer?
No, like maybe it's the carrots, or maybe it's broccoli, or maybe it's asparagus or something like that. I would probably pass.
I don't think I've ever had vegetables, like, as a, like.
Just a plate of vegetables? You never had, like, just had like steamed broccoli?
Because, sometimes, you know, people are lagging along in the kitchen or something's not quite ready. It's like, here's some, you know, the carrots in the dip, or the, you know, all those daisy dips you can dip, like the celery, the tomatoes, and all that. Or, I guess, Like, I finally showed you proof. You can dip a strawberry in a dollop of daisy.
You could do that. You could do whatever you want. But no, I'm going to pass it. Like, if there's like a tray of broccoli out there or asparagus, I don't need that on Thanksgiving. I'm good with that.
I don't know what.
I'll make Brussels sprouts with bacon and
that's good.
Yeah, oh, God, yes. And then I throw in some wild rice and make like a wild rice Brussels sprouts and bacon thing. Oh, it's good, man. Brussels sprouts were basically thrown away by our parents' generation because they didn't know how to cook them. My daughter said to me the other day, she goes, why did everybody hate these like years ago? And I'm like, because they didn't know how to cook them. They didn't use bacon fat back then. They boiled them and served them to you and told you to eat them and shut up.
They canceled them.
Now they're back with a vengeance.
I don't know what in the hell this is. Mince meat pie?
You don't know mince meat pie?
Absolutely not.
Nathan, do you know mince meat pie?
I don't want to know mince meat pie.
You'll pass on that. Yeah, what it is a pie that old people eat. I don't know. It's like made with dates and figs, maybe,
so
I think.
You've had it?
Is that what Rachel brought to Thanksgiving in Friends?
You know, I never friends, maybe. Yeah. It's just like, I think it's like dried fruit and whatnot. I just remember the old people always eating that at Thanksgiving time. I got that mince meat pie. No, we don't. Nobody wants that.
I feel like Phoebe would have been a lot of fun after some wine.
Is she the smelly cat?
Mm-hmm. She's a twin, too.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I saw two old lady twins the other day. Oh, my God. Nice. They must have been in their 70s or 80s. I'm like, God, that's awesome.
Another one of the Smash and Pass, green rice or broccoli cheddar rice. So it's...
I'll pass on that.
It's amazing. So you make a bunch of white rice, and then you make a sauce, like a cream of chicken, cream of mushroom, cheese whiz, little garlic, little butter, mix it all together, get it boiled, mix it in with the rice and chopped up broccoli. It's like a casserole.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. Smash it every time.
Smash.
Absolutely. Any sort of pies? Do you smash pies on Thanksgiving? Do you throw everything out the window? Obviously, like, we always have like a French silk. We have that caramel apple pie that I think Costco has. It's like huge, like the size of like, I don't know, like a steering wheel, if not bigger. But yeah, chocolate pie. I mean, pumpkin pie.
When do you eat pie? Not around this time of the year.
Christmas.
That's what I'm saying. Like that's all factored in. Like, nobody's eating pie in July, really. Like, you don't go, you know, I need a slice of pie.
I'll smash pie anytime, anywhere. Yeah. I'll smash anyone's pie except for whatever meat pie you were talking about.
Mince meat pie, yeah. Look it up. See if you like, maybe you'll like it. If you don't know what it is, look it up.
Can I Google that?
Yeah, mince meat pie. Yeah, sure you can. Yeah.
Computer will probably shut down anyway. Nathan just said he'll smash anybody's pie.
That's right.
You like pie? And then the cranberry sauce. Only smash if it's the can.
I'll eat any kind.
I don't like the homemade one.
Sometimes you get it. Some people try to like flavor it with orange, and you're like, Just give me the can. Make sure it has the ridges in it from the can. That's all I want.
Smash.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Fesco Dusty brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Coming up on the other side, we get into the script of what is the Black Friday game, Chiefs versus Raiders. Nathan, Bob, Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.